to have a Sunday off that Sunday, but I'm glad to see we've got a full congregation today. So this morning we're doing part two of Rhythm 4. By God's grace, I'll seek to be a gracious presence in the world, serving others, working for justice, practicing generosity, and demonstrating God's love. And it's particularly that last little bit, practicing generosity, and by doing so, demonstrating God's love, that we're particularly going to be talking about. And I am going to be talking quite a lot about money today, but actually, when I talk about giving, it's far bigger than that. It's about giving our time, our gifts, our talents, our money, our everything. Think of when we talk about giving this morning, think about all the different aspects of giving that we are, as we talk about it this morning. And I want to start by first of all just saying thank you. Actually, thank you for being such a generous church with your time, with your money, with your gifts. And that is the really important place I want to start. This morning isn't about sending people on a guilt trip at all. And if I do that, I've done my job wrong. Because actually, so often when people talk about giving, actually people are anxious when they speak about it and are anxious when they hear about it. And I think that's because we come from the wrong starting points. Our whole motivation so often, I think, is wrong. I want to give you three starting points, which I think people can come from. And I wonder if you relate to any of these. See, I think for some, people can think about giving is a bit like a Christian tax, where actually it's what you have to do. And you were sort of brought up maybe legalistically to give your tithe, your 10% to the church, whatever. And like tax, you know actually that it's probably going to be spent on good things. But if you're honest, you'd really rather keep the money in your pocket for yourself. Or what about this one? Giving is a bit like paying your membership fee to the church club. That sense that actually we're aware that church doesn't run ourselves. All our money from church has to come from people's giving. And that just like the local golf club or the local health club, that you need to pay your subscription fee and do your bit of service in order for the club to carry on working. Do we sometimes see giving like that? It's not the way God sees it. But I think sometimes we can see it like that. Or what about this one? Giving is like paying protection money to God, as if it's a bit of a bribe to God. Maybe sometimes we can think, if I just give enough to keep God happy, then maybe the washing machine or the car won't break down. Maybe I won't get unemployed or lose my job, or maybe we won't have health issues or whatever. And sometimes I think maybe we can feel a little bit like that. And I want to say the problem with all these approaches is that giving simply becomes a duty that we do out of guilt. It's what an American pastor called Steve Furtick calls I've got to give to God approach. That sense that giving is something that I begrudgingly have to do. But you know, if we see giving simply like that, then I think we're missing the point. I think we're getting it all wrong. And I think this is something of what Paul was trying to say to the Corinthian church, is actually, it's not that you've got to give. And as I read these verses here from Paul, I don't see Paul describing a got-to-give-to-God approach. I see him instead describing what Steve Furtick calls a get-to-give-to-God approach. It's one which says, I'm not forced to, but I get to. It's not about obligation, but it's an invitation. It's a privilege, it's a blessing to do so. I'm excited because I get to give to God. I get to be part of what God's doing in this place. And you know, a get to give to God approach is actually very different to a got to give to God approach. You see, if you've got a get to give to God approach, then actually when you come each Sunday and perhaps pop your little money in the collection or write out your standing order form, then I think if you've got to give to God approach, then actually what you do is you pop it in there and think, phew, tick, done that one. That's my duty done. Move on. But you know, if you've got a get to give to God approach, then actually you come to your giving so differently, don't you? You come and you say, wow, that's amazing. I get to give to God. And actually, that's not the end of it.
But that's just the start of it. And actually we give to God and then we say, God, I'm going to watch just what you do with the little I've given back to you of what you've given to me in the first place. And I'm going to see what amazing stuff you grow from that little gift. You see, that's a get to give to God approach.
I want to briefly describe five reasons, and we will go through these quite quickly, as to why we should be excited about giving and why we should have a get to give to God approach. Firstly, reason number one, generous giving. When I give generously, it's an act of worship and an act of thankfulness to God. You know, Paul, and do grab your Bibles, 2 Corinthians 9, we're particularly going to be looking in, 2 Corinthians 9 verse 12, Paul says, he says, this service, your giving, is overflowing in many expressions of thanksgiving to God. Or Philippians 4 verse 18, Paul talks about gifts that were given to him as here, a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice pleasing to God. You know, our giving first and foremost is an act of worship to our generous and loving God. It's an act of worship to the God who has done so much for us. You see, our meager sacrifices in reality are so little compared to a God who gave everything. Compared to a God who sacrificed himself on the cross so that we might be forgiven, so that we might have full and eternal life with him. You know, he's given us what we didn't deserve. So surely our response is to give him something back to him out of the bounteous generosity that he's given to us. You know, that's why I wanted everyone to have a 10p. as they came in, to just say the starting point of giving is knowing that we've been given first by God. Knowing that a generous God has given to us first, and that everything we have comes from him. Giving is an act of worship and thankfulness to God. Reason number two. When I give generously, it's a witness to others, pointing them to God. Look at verse 13. Paul here says, because of your service, because of your giving, people will praise God. See, our giving can be a witness pointing other people to God. The act of our generosity to others in both giving of our money, our time, our talents, all that can point others to God and cause them to praise and worship God too for themselves. You know, that's how I think rhythms 4 and 5 just tie together so closely. I think that they're intertwined. Rhythm 4 about being a gracious and generous presence in the world. Rhythm 5 about sharing our faith. Because you see, when we're a gracious and generous presence in the world, in the places that God has put us, on our front lines, as Judith was talking about last week, then we can point others to God. And our actions can be a huge witness to God's love for them. And I want to say today, if you are a visitor, or if you are a newcomer, or if you're not yet a Christian and sitting here today, this message of giving is not for you. We're not asking you to give anything, but we want you to know that other people have given sacrificially so that you could be here and meet with Jesus yourself. Other people have given so that actually you can know the amazing generosity of God for you. So if you're a visitor or not yet a Christian, sit back, relax. God doesn't want your money. He wants your hearts. It's a witness to others, pointing them to God. Reason number three. You know, when I give generously, I get to break the power of greed and rely on God to provide for my needs. You know, we live in a world whose major god is materialism, don't we? Where so many think that the way to happiness and contentment is just to get more money and more stuff. And yet the words of the multimillionaire John D. Rockefeller are so true, aren't they? When he was asked, how much money does it take to make a man happy? He answered, just a little bit more than he has. You know, learning to be generous and learning to trust God for his provision is a way, as Paul found, to find true contentment.
every time we give money away, we break the power of greed and materialism over us just a little bit more. Every time we're generous with our money, it controls us just a little bit less. You know, I found that in my life. And it's great. And it's freeing. And you know, from my experience, generosity brings us joy and happiness. You know, if you've found a really generous person who's grumpy, can you tell me? Because I haven't found one yet. When you have a generous spirit, that actually brings joy and happiness. Number three, I get to break the power of greed and begin to find true contentment. Reason number four, verse 14, I get to share in the needs and ministry of others when I give generously. It might be verse 12, actually. In verse 12, Paul describes how the giving was supplying the needs of God's people. You know, for Paul, giving wasn't just something for the Keenies, but it was an opportunity for everyone. Everyone is invited to be a financial partner in God's kingdom. Whether you have thousands, millions of pounds, or whether you have nothing, everyone's invited to join in. And part of being a church community is that together we share in meeting the needs of our community and beyond. You know, we have over the years here at St. Andrew's seen some amazing examples of generous, sacrificial giving. The church centre is amazing, isn't it? And that's there because you, so many of you, gave sacrificially of your money, of your time, of your talents to make that happen. A few of us were meeting on Friday morning at the first meeting of a new little strategic group, looking at how we can make that the church centre even more missional. And we had a word in Friday morning prayers that actually, Rich's word for us as a well in our community, we had a word on Friday morning that actually the church centre was to be a well in our community, bringing life and healing and wholeness in our community. And we had a meeting on Friday to begin to say, how can we be more missional in our use of the church centre? How can we engage the community even more? You see, it's meaning it's not just there on a Sunday morning for the amazing young people and children's work. And look how many we have because that resource now. We had over 50 children and young people two or three weeks ago. That's there because people have given. But God's got an even bigger vision. And not only that, but actually all that was done in the Ukraine because of the giving that came with that, the setting up of the orphanage, the years of investment in the Ukraine, lives have been changed because of your giving. And boilers, more recently. You know, we've had the boilers fitted. It was so hot this morning, I was sweltering. We need to turn it down, Derek. But isn't it amazing? And do you know what? I had an email from Trish Gorton this week to say, nearly to the pound, the cost of the boilers was met by donations that came in. £6,000, just over £6,000, and we got nearly to the pound the donations for that specific boiler. A sign, isn't it, that God actually will provide for our needs. Those things happen because of you. Thank you. You've made a difference. You're building God's kingdom through your generosity. But what about now? What are the needs looking like for the church, this church, our team now, for the next few years? You know, God, I think, has got an even bigger vision than we have. I think God is doing amazing stuff in this place. And actually, we just need to keep up with what God's doing because God's way ahead of us. And I think we've got an amazing foundation because of the past to build on, and particularly with our children and young people. We have an amazing heritage. But I think many of us are sensing that actually God's saying, if you're going to step into our vision, actually it's time to take some bold steps. It's time to take some bold steps with our children, to invest in our children and our young people. Because we are virtually at capacity. We are struggling to provide on a Sunday morning for the needs of our children and young people. And we can't do any much more outside of it. And yet there's so many needs. I had Chase School this week. We had 25 people who were there at an after-school prayer meeting. 11 of us from this church. There's so much we could do there. And it seems to be opening up, but we haven't got the resources. And so we're having ongoing discussions about the potential of a youth and children's minister. And I hope, something around those lines, I hope that before the summer's out, we might get an advert out and begin to actually start recruiting.
What might this look like? Well, I want you to introduce you to Matt. They're our lovely young people. On New Year's Day, up on the top of the hills. I want to introduce you to Matt. Matt is the youth minister at my old church in Shrewsbury, who I was involved in appointing. He's full-time. He's paid about £25,000. It cost the church about £30,000 in total to have him. This is what Matt does. He runs two midweek evening life groups, community groups for young people, 11 to 14, 14 to 18. He's done Youth Alpha, Freedom in Christ and stuff with them on an evening, midweek evening. He runs a monthly youth congregation called B on a Sunday evening just for young people. We have a church cafe up there. He runs something called Life at the Cafe, which is a drop-in after school for 11 to 14s in the church-run cafe there. He, two or three times a year, goes into the local secondary school and does classes for a whole year group at Easter and Christmas, just saying, this is what the Easter story, this is what the Christmas story means to Christians. He oversees the youth stuff on a Sunday. He's not doing all the work, but he's developing a team and growing a team. He takes a group to Soul Survivor each year. He mentors young people in the church and in local school too. He runs two youth groups at their equivalent of the Octagon on a Thursday night on the local estate. He oversees 18 to 30s ministry, leads services, preaches, etc. You know, that's what you can do when you have a youth minister. That's the potential that actually I sense God may well be calling us into here. You know, our current financial position is that we have about as much income coming in at the moment as is going out. We have a little bit of reserves, but we've also got £24,000 debt for the church roof that we're gradually paying off at £6,000 a year. So in other words, we haven't got any spare money for this sort of thing at the moment. But I want to say, will you join me in praying that God would provide for our needs? Will you join me in praying that actually we will get the resources to step into the vision that I think God has for this place and for our team of churches? Will you prayerfully go and consider what that might mean for you, whether God's calling you to be part of that in your giving? You know, £30,000 for a full-time youth minister or children and families worker, whatever, seems a lot of money, doesn't it? It's a massive step up. But I want to show you how it's possible. You know, I worked out that actually, if on average every adult at St. Andrew's and All Saints, because we do this jointly, gave an extra 50p a day, we could have a full-time. That would cover a full-time member of staff. Okay, that's equivalent to less than a coffee and a cake a week, for those of you who have coffee and a cake every week. Now, that's on average. God will ask some people to give more, and some people won't be able to give that much. They may even have to reduce their giving, and that's right. We give what God calls us to give. But you know, that's doable, isn't it? Well, what about this, actually? If every adult on average gave £1 extra, we could have a youth minister and a children and families worker, say. On £1 per adult per day extra. And we could pay our full parish share. Now, I think that's doable. And I think if it's God's vision, I trust that God will provide. I don't know where it'll come from. We're looking at outside grants and stuff as well. But I trust that God will provide. Will you join me in praying for that? And, you know, I think that leads us nicely onto reason five, which I think is the really exciting one. Because, you know, when I give generously, I get to invest in something much bigger than me that will last for much longer than me. We get to partner in God's amazing kingdom work. Go back to 2 Corinthians 9, verse 6. It says, those who sow sparingly will reap sparingly. But those who sow generously will reap generously. You know, we've the opportunity to sow generously, to invest in something that will be impacting long after we've gone. We get to invest in the next generation. And I know some people have seen this next video. I've shown it here about a year ago. But I just need to see this video about every 3 months to remind myself how important it is.
You'll find us laughing,
playing,
singing, and talking.
You'll find us hurting,
lying, fighting,
and crying.
You'll
You'll find us in homes.
In schools.
And in clubs.
You'll find us in parks.
On the street.
And in churches.
We are your children.
Your youth.
And your responsibility.
The pressure of the culture continues to weaken the influence of our families and the church over us.
It is becoming harder and harder to hear the message of God's love.
Now is the time for shining the spotlight on the children and youth in our world for 10 long years.
We don't need another program.
We don't need more events.
Or church camps.
We need a church that will care for us and build us in a wide variety of ways into the family of God's people,
full of life and fun.
We want and need opportunities to minister to others in ways appropriate to our age and experience,
our abilities and gifts.
We are disciples in training,
not disciples in waiting.
Please don't underestimate us.
We are the church of today
and the church of the future.
But you're in danger of losing us.
You're 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 losing us.
Will you do whatever it takes to reach us?
Please set aside your differences and meet us where we are.
Will you teach us how to live?
We are within your grasp.
Please take time to share Christ with us.
Because in 10 years, I'll be 27.
In 10 years, I'll be 16.
I'll be 21.
I'll be 25.
In 10 years, I'll be 21.
I'll be 19.
I'll be 26.
I'll be 20.
In 10 years, I'll be 19.
In 10 years, I'll be 24.
In 10 years' time, I'll be 22.
I'll be 27.
I'll be 21.
I'll be 22.
The question is...
Question is.
The question is.
Question is.
Question is.
The 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 question is. In 10 years, will you have made a difference?
Can I ask Chaos to stand up? Sorry. Go on. Will we make a difference to these guys, to all those others who are in there? We are making a difference. We're making a massive difference. But will we make even more of a difference to these guys and their friends and those who they're at school with? Because, you know, we have an opportunity to invest in this generation. Not just so that we can help them grow in their knowledge of God, not just so that they can become Christians and their friends can, but because these guys, in 10 years' time, in 20 years' time, in 30, 40 years' time, are going to be in significant positions in our communities. Doctors, teachers, charity workers. We may have the next Prime Minister even standing here. Who knows? Lois, you might make it. Okay. But actually, we have the opportunity to just help people like this and their friends, etc., at school and others in the community of their age, to not just come to know Jesus, but to know Christian values, to know God's way of living, so that actually, when they grow up, they will transform communities and they'll make a difference. That's what we're investing in. Thank you, guys. You can sit down now. Will we step out and make that happen? Will we make a difference? See, the great news is that not that we've got to give, but that we get to give. We get to be part of this. And I want to say there's more. There's a promise also here in these verses, which for when maybe we're anxious that God's going to ask too much of us, ask us to give too much. You know, Paul describes how if we're obedient and generous, that in verse 8, God will provide for all our needs. Did you hear that? If we're generous and generous givers, God promises to meet our needs. Not our wants, not our greeds, but our needs. He will provide. That's his promise. And if we're generous and so generously, he will bless us even more. Why will he bless us? Look at verse 11, really key. You have been made rich in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. this isn't a prosperity gospel, but a reminder that we're blessed to be a blessing. If we're generous, then God will give us all we need and more. Why? So that we can continue to be generous and give more away. You know, I found this so true in my own life. Last time I preached a sermon on giving was up in Shrewsbury, and as always, when I preach a sermon on giving, God challenges me to step out a little bit more. And I thought we were probably giving on our limit, and God said, no, you need to give a little bit more. And I said, okay, I'm preaching on it, I suppose I'll have to. But I did it joyfully. And, you know, within that week, we'd had a dishwasher which had been broken for 5 months. Actually, our current dishwasher's broken. It's been broken for 8 months. God, come on. Someone gave us a dishwasher. Also that week, Alice was studying her master's at St. John's, Nottingham at that time, and we were trusting God to provide the fees for that. That week, we got an unexpected check for £1,400. And, you know, I sense God saying to me, you preach truth. This is true. If we're generous and if we look for God's heart and we step out in obedience, step out in faith, that he'll provide. And I could give you countless stories in my life where I've known that to be true. That's the joy of giving. So finally, and really very quickly, what guidelines does the New Testament give to us on how we should give? Well, like that guy. I love that picture. It says here, 2 Corinthians 9:7, we should give cheerfully. The Greek word for it comes from the word hilarious. We should give hilariously, cheerfully and voluntary, not out of compulsion. We should give generously and expectantly. That we had that verse already. Those who sow generously will reap generously. We could give in regularly in a planned way. 1 Corinthians 16 talks about on the first day of the week, set aside a sum of money. Not just what's left over when we've used everything else, but actually we're to set aside a plan what we give to God. And we give to God the first fruits there. That's why standing orders are so helpful, because it just means that that stuff automatically goes out of our accounts when from what we have, or envelopes. You know, doing it that way helps us to give regularly, and our finance team also to know how much income is coming in. Also, if you're a taxpayer, don't forget that actually to gift aid what you're doing. We had about £15,000. We get about £15,000 every year from gift aid. So if you 30 seconds worth of filling in a gift aid form is worth it. If you want to talk about anything about giving, Andy Lima, where are you? Andy, stand up, Andy. Andy's our treasurer. Valerie, who's already shared, is our gift aid person. Is Trish here? No, she was at our earlier service. They are our finance team. Don't talk to me anything about giving. I don't want to know. I don't know anything about what anyone's giving here, and I don't want to. And I will not know ever anything amounts that people are giving. They are the people to see, the people to talk to. And finally, give in proportional to your means. It says in 1 Corinthians 16, give in keeping with your income. You know, that's what I love about the story of the widow's mite, isn't it? That actually God's not interested in the amount that we give, but actually he's interested in our hearts and our obedience. Actually, a penny given, because that's what God has called us to, is to more valuable than a millionaire who gives £100,000. You know, many Christians will use the Old Testament principle of a tithe, 10%, as a percentage to aim at of what we give. But whatever sacrificial steps of faith we make in our giving, whatever God calls us to give, God will honour our willingness. If you currently give 2% of your income, maybe ask God to give you the faith to give 3%. If you currently give 5%, maybe ask God to give you the faith to give 8%. If you currently give 10%, maybe God's calling you to give 15%, 20%, whatever. Let's prayerfully go to God and ask him what he's asking us to do. And finally, I want to finish with a story. A story I love is a story of this guy. He's called R.G. Letourneau, who, in his own words, was a mechanic that God blessed. After some hard times, he began inventing and setting up his own earth-moving business in the 1930s. And basically 70% of the earth-moving machines, bulldozers, etc., used in World War II were his machines. And he decided very early on in his business that actually he would see God as what he called the chairman of his board. And he decided that whatever happened, he would live on 10% of his income and give 90% away, which included significant funding for many of Billy Graham's crusades in the 50s and 60s. And he would also always say, evidently, the question is not how much money I give to God, but how much of his money I keep for myself. And God took his generosity and he blessed him. Why? So that he could be a blessing to others and invest for eternity. This guy found that the money came in faster than he could give it away and discovered that he couldn't outgive God. I shovel it out, he would say, and God shovels it back, but God has a bigger shovel. He knew the joy and the excitement of giving. He knew what it was to have a get-to-give approach to giving. He opens his hands to a God who will not be outgiven. Will we? Let's just have a pause. Let's have a moment of quiet. Just as we were praying earlier, I just sense, going back to the stuff that we talked about, being transformed into the likeness of Christ, that actually for some people here today, maybe you know that actually you've always struggled a bit with being generous, and you know that's not what being Christ-like is about. And for some, maybe the prayer today is, God, by your grace, will you give me a generous heart? By your grace, will you transform me? Will you take away the fear that I'm not going to have enough? And allow me to step out and take risks for you and show me the joy of giving. Maybe for some, that's the prayer. Just also sense that there were some maybe who here today actually have financial burdens and are actually really worried about finances. And just that promise that actually if you are obedient to God, that God will provide for your needs. And that's a promise for some here. And maybe actually for some of those people, it'd be worth just coming and getting someone to pray with you later. But God says, I want to bless you. Just step out and trust me. I will provide for your needs. I'm going to ask the music group to come back up and we're going to sing a couple of songs. And as you came in, you were given a 10p. 10p of just a sign that actually God has first given to you. And I want to just encourage you to respond with this 10p in one of three ways. One is that while we're singing, you may like to just come and say, I want to just say to God, I want to respond. I want to have a generous heart and I want to be part of your doing. And maybe a way of responding would be just to come and when we're singing, come and, if you like, wave this, but you don't have to, but just pop your 10p in the little Ghanaian giving thing. For other people, actually, you might say, well, I'm not quite ready. I want to take that 10p home. And maybe for you, actually, go and put it on the mantelpiece. Go and put it on your desk somewhere where you can take that home and you can pray. And you can put it there to remind you and say, I'm going to pray that God would show me how he wants to respond. And maybe that's what he wants you to do. Or maybe for others, actually, God, it's not very much. I'm sorry, I couldn't quite stretch to giving everybody a pound. But actually, maybe go and take that 10p and maybe go and buy a packet of sweets or something and just either give it away as a sign of actually, again, God's generosity, or actually even just get a packet of sweets and buy it for you if you need to be reminded that actually God is a generous God and God has first given to you. So I want to invite you to respond in whatever way is appropriate. But we're going to sing a couple of songs and just allow these words to just be your prayer. Let's stand.